peace transforms our lives, enabling us to know and love the God who created us, to live freely in accordance with his will, and to cooperate in building a truly human and fraternal society.
Why do I have to go to Mass? Why don't priests marry? Is it absurd to believe in God in today's world? These are just some of the questions that Vatican Radio will be putting to Monsignor John Kennedy, an official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, in a new series running throughout the Year of Faith. It's a way of helping people along as they respond to Pope Benedict XVI's invitation to all of us to deepen our knowledge of why we believe what we believe. The Holy Father is also encouraging us to seek out answers to questions of faith by picking up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This, he says, gives us the food for thought that we are all seeking. So if you have any questions, big or small, questions that you have always wanted to ask but never have, this is your chance. You can send them on to Monsignor Kennedy at our email address, news@vatiradio.va, or on Vatican Radio English Section's Facebook page, and tune in each Tuesday to find out the answers to your questions of faith. Welcome back once again to this week's episode of Questions of Faith with our very own official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, accompanying all of our listeners throughout the Year of Faith invoked by Pope Benedict XVI. This week, a very special program. We are in the liturgical season of Advent. We're preparing for Christmas. So what better subject to touch on this week than Advent? What it is, what we do during an Advent, why the Church celebrates a liturgical season such as Advent. Question number one, what does Advent mean?
Emer, it's great to see you. And I'd like to begin this week by telling you that I was at the airport last week collecting my mother, who was over visiting me in Rome. And while I was waiting for her to arrive, I noticed two very familiar words that you always see at airports, and they are arrival and departure. And at this time of the year, I think that these two words can help us to understand what's happening when the Church celebrates Advent. On the one side, the old year is departing, and so we say goodbye to it. And we also welcome the new year, which from the liturgical point of view began on the first Sunday of Advent. So depending on the year in question, Advent can last between 22 and 28 days, and it always has four Sundays. But to get to your question, the word Advent originally comes from Latin, like lots of things in the Church, from the word Adventus, which means arrival or coming. In fact, Advent is best described as Adventus Domini, or the coming of the Lord. And this word goes back a long, long way and has really interesting historical context too, because in the Roman Empire, the word Adventus was often used to indicate the arrival of a king or the emperor. So very often in our hymns that we sing during the period of Advent, we make reference to Christ our Lord, who is coming as a king born in Bethlehem. And in fact, there's a German hymn that I know quite well, and it says, Macht hoch die Tür, macht weit, es kommt der Herrlichkeit. Open up the door, open wide the gate, the King of Glory is coming.
Do you want to tell our listeners why you know the German hymn so well?
I lived for 8 years at the Campo Santo Teutonico, which is the German college inside the Vatican. The diocesan priests from Dublin have a long connection, about 80 or 90 years with the college. So many of our priests who came to Rome to study lived there and as a result learned to speak German.
And the Germans have a very particular flair and feel for the Advent season.
They do. And even though the Church is very sparse and has a strong theme of because it's built beside a cemetery, they they place particular emphasis on the Advent wreath, and in the hymn book, which is called Gotteslob, which literally means praise God, they have a whole section at the beginning which is concentrated on Advent and Christmas hymns, the most beautiful hymns, music that you'd be very familiar with. You might hear a tune and you say, oh, I know that somewhere, and then you realise it's a German hymn maybe from the 14th or 15th century. And so what's wonderful is they keep singing these very, very ancient hymns.
Question number two, looking around you, can you see different types of preparations taking place? We spoke there a little bit about the German. Can you tell us about preparations that are specifically Christian in context rather than secular or from other parts of the world?
If you look around wherever you live, you're going to see preparations for Christmas taking place, often weeks in advance. I know at home in our country, as soon as Halloween is over and the 1st of November, All Saints and All Souls, people sort of get into Christmas mode. But there's another kind of preparation which is very specifically Christian, and it helps us to characterise and even to deepen our Christian faith. Advent for Christians isn't really this bright, dazzling sort of season where we're concentrated on the material things. We actually start Advent with prayer. The first Vespers of Advent kick off the Advent season on Saturday evening before the first Sunday of Advent, and that's exactly what Pope Benedict did this year. He celebrated the first Vespers of Advent with students from the Roman and the Pontifical Universities, and I think his example is great because what he's teaching us is that the first day of Advent, and indeed all of the days of Advent, should be nourished and marked by prayer. The other thing maybe we should try and do as Christians is visit churches, if we can, if they're near to us during the period of Advent, and adore the Lord as we see him depicted in the crib scene.
What symbolises Advent for Christians? Is the Advent wreath with its four or five candles a good symbol to give?
It's a really, really excellent, very simple, but yet at the same time very, very profound indication of Advent. You have these four candles, you've three purple and a rose-coloured candle, and very often a white candle in the centre. And as the days and weeks of Advent pass by, we mark the passing of the Sundays by lighting each one of the candles. We try and keep vigil, we try and keep awake, and watch the brightening Advent wreath as the brightening days of Christmas draw near. And they help us to, I suppose, remember that Advent is first and foremost a time of prayer and contemplation.
But what is the meaning of this actual Advent wreath? I mean, what does it prompt us to do as we see these candles week by week being lit and burning?
My mother always accused me of being a pyromaniac because she always was fascinated how I love to watch candles burning. And I think when you watch a candle burning, you can see this taking place in stillness, in quiet. And this kind of quiet time of watching these lights rising up from the candles leads us naturally to prayer and leads us naturally to contemplation. And it's at this time of the year that as we brighten our lives with the light of Christ that we're called to renew our relationship with God, and to do so also by approaching the sacrament of confession so that we may prepare the path, using the words of St. John the Baptist in the Gospel, and making straight the path in our own lives and in our own hearts for the Lord. And then our prayer and our renewed hearts then allow us to give expression to our love by showing kindness to those in need around us. We try to do a little bit more during Advent than we do during the rest of the year. We try to be generous in responding to God, who has already shown us a lot of kindness. And I suppose we're conscious too that while the world is rather materialistic in certain places, we're reminded too that God isn't impressed by our material wealth. He's not really that gone on the fact that our homes might be lavishly decorated. But what he wants us to do is have our hearts and our lives ready to receive him. And during the period of Advent, he's calling us to renew our lives and to focus on what really matters.
So tell me a little bit about the candles on the Advent wreath, particularly the fifth candle that we often see on the Advent wreath, which is a symbol of light, and what that actually represents.
You know, the fifth candle, which is very often placed in the centre of the Advent wreath, is white and it represents Christ who's born for us. It's lit, of course, on Christmas Day, or perhaps even on the vigil of Christmas Day when we go to midnight mass. And in some ways, while we're also called to be like the other candles gathered around Christ, we're also called to be like Christ himself and then share his light and bring his light to the world. These candles are particularly significant because another feature of the world of nature at this time is how few hours of daylight there are and how quickly the evening seems to fall. And at the time when the world is in the greatest period of darkness, we're celebrating as Christians Christ, who is the light of the world. He's born for us in Bethlehem. But not only is he light, but he also brings us healing and forgiveness and, most importantly, eternal life. He becomes for us the light that lightens our path so that we can find our way to God. Think of the gospel. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. And if you want to understand the real key element of Christmas, it's this. Christ has come among us, is born among us as a human person to become one like us, even though he's without sin. Why? So that we could become like him.
Can you tell me something about the choice of liturgical colour for Advent? We see it also in the candles on the Advent wreath. Is there any reason why the colour purple is used? Can we use another colour if we wish?
Well, the choice of purple is very significant. In fact, every church throughout the world uses this colour during the season of Advent and for a particular reason. Purple in the church is a colour of preparation and also of sorrow. In fact, many years ago, the period of Advent itself was something like Lent because it was also characterised by fasting and prayer. And this period began after the feast of St. Martin, which is the 11th of November, and continued until Christmas. So purple is for prayer and for sorrow. But then, strangely, on the third Sunday of Advent, the whole liturgy takes on a different feel. It moves to a more joyful note, and the colour of the vestments worn by the priest and the deacon change to rose, a pink colour, and this signifies the joy at the almost imminent, the approaching birth of Christ.
Is this why we call it Gaudete Sunday?
That's exactly why we call it, which is the Latin word for meaning rejoice. And then after Gaudete Sunday, we go back to purple, again until Christmas Day. And then on Christmas Day, we celebrate white. And that, again, matches the Advent wreath candle in the centre. And it also shows us the great joy and the great brightness of Christ's birth.
Are all the Sundays in Advent the same, or does one have a particular meaning?
Well, you alluded to this earlier. The third Sunday of Advent has a very particular name, and it's marked, as I said, by this spirit of joy. It's called Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete, of course, is Latin again, and it means rejoice. The very name Gaudete Sunday comes from the opening line of what is the introductory verse to the Mass, and that in turn is based on the writings of St. Paul, who tells the community at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And then, as if to underline it, he says it again, I say rejoice. And then he gives the reason why. He says, the Lord is near.
Let's look at Advent and papal teaching, and in particular with our Pope Benedict XVI. Has he had anything to say about how we Christians should live, experience and celebrate Advent?
Beautifully, as he always does. He said very recently, in a few days, we will celebrate Christmas, the feast of the coming of God, who came among us as a child and as our brother to be with us and to share in our human condition. We must rejoice for his closeness and his presence, and always to seek to understand that he is truly near, so that the goodness of God and the joy of Christ might enter into us. And that, continuing a little bit more, he concludes by saying, this is a great cause for joy, to know that it is always possible to pray to the Lord and that the Lord hears us, that God is not distant from us, but truly listens to us, that he knows us and never turns away from our prayers. And even if he does not always respond as we might wish, he nevertheless responds.
One final question. Do you have any particular favourite Advent memory from your time as a young man, as a young seminarian, as a priest?
I think the immediate memory is seeing my first Jesse tree, which I'd like to talk about in the next programme for Christmas. And there was a beautiful sister working in our parish who introduced the children in the primary school and showed them. She had this model cut out of an old tree, and she hung all the beautiful symbols of pointing to Christ, actually, and found in the Old Testament, and showed how we can trace the coming of Christ, the promise that was fulfilled in Christ, and how that was traced through the Old Testament, which really, really helped our parishioners to prepare for Advent and Christmas.
Monsignor John Kennedy, our very own official from the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, thank you very much for giving us a greater insight into Advent, how we live it as a Christian people, what the Church teaches us about Advent, and as it draws us near to that great celebration, which we will be discussing in next week's programme. People might be on Christmas holidays, but we're not. We'll be back again with questions of faith, this time regarding Christmas. So if any of our listeners have any questions, big or small, about Christmas, all they have to do is write to us on news@vaticanradio.va or private message or post us on our Facebook page. That's Vatican Radio English section. Thank you once again, Monsignor Kennedy.
Thanks, Emma. God bless you.